Well, we are live, and welcome everybody to another edition of the Next.io Weekly News with me, Connor Mulher, and I'm joined by a very special guest this week, the one and only senior reporter from Next.io, Mr. Zach Thomas-Aku. Zach, how are you, man?
Yeah, doing great, Connor. Thanks for having me.
No, the pleasure's all mine. Thank you for joining us. We are also joined, although you can't see him, he's being very mysterious this week, by my partner in crime, Mr. Nico Jansen. Nico is appearing as the voice of God. Are you there, Nico? Can you hear us?
I can hear you loud and clear, so all good, all good. Yeah, it's a little bit different, like the last episodes, but it's still fun. Yes! You know, I'm still the embedded correspondent, and you just came out with a quite interesting piece of news of someone, you know, giving some insights. I just have to hide a little bit. So, but I'm all good. I'm all well. So nothing to worry about. As of now, you just need to live without seeing me. But I'm pretty sure both of you are getting along with this one.
Yeah, it's a real shame, Nico, not to be able to look at your wonderful tidy hair as opposed to mine and Zach's, which are all over the place today. But never mind, we've got you with us, and that is the important thing. Now, before we get started today, I should say thank you very much to Playson, of course, for sponsoring this episode of Weekly News and keeping us coming back every week. It wouldn't be possible without you, so thanks to Playson. Now, gentlemen, we've got a lot to discuss this week. We've had a very busy couple of days in the newsroom, isn't that right, Zach? And Nico, I know that you just love nothing more than discussing financial results and reports from major listed operators. So today, we have got Flutter's financial results, which came out just this morning, and we're going to talk about those very shortly. But first and foremost, 888 released its financial results yesterday. And we've got, I would say, two very different stories to examine today. So we're going to start with 888. And I think we've got a picture, if our producer can put the first image up on the screen. We're going to rattle through these financial results, and you can see here, if you look on the right hand side of this chart, it's been pretty bad news for 888 all round. The full year 2023 revenue was down 8% year on year to £1.71 billion. Now, that was because of a drop in UK online revenue, dropped by 8% to £658 million. Retail revenue in the UK from, of course, the William Hill chain of betting shops actually was slightly up 3% at £535 million, but international online revenue also tanked by 16% year on year in 2023, down to £517 million. Thank you, Lorena, for showing us that, just so you can get an idea. All of our viewers can visualize what's been happening. Basically, it's a pretty, what would you say, underwhelming report, Zach.
Yeah, it's very underwhelming. I mean, especially in comparison to Flutter, which is thrived in markets which 888 is really struggling, like the UK and Ireland, which is interesting because they're both facing the same regulatory headwinds and dealing with the same economics.
Yeah, absolutely true. So we're going to come on to Flutter a little bit later, but we're going to dive a bit deeper into 888 now and see what the future might hold for the business. So in terms of profitability, the company anticipates an adjusted EBITDA margin for 2023 to align with previous estimates at around 18%. And as of the end of the year, they reported cash reserves of approximately £125 million, which obviously for a business of that size, doesn't sound like all that much, really. So investors didn't have a particularly positive reaction to the news, and I think shares dropped about 9% yesterday after the results were released. I mean, that started to stabilize now. And I think as of today, shares are down at about 2% over the past 5 days. But I think it's an interesting one to look at. If we can see our second image, actually, we've got this kind of Mount Everest-shaped chart here, which shows 888's rise and fall over the past 5 years. Of course, the shares are down still 55% compared to where they were 5 years ago, and down God knows how many percent from the peak there in late 2021. Thank you, Lorena, for showing us that. So it's been a difficult few years for 888, to say the least. The market cap of the business today is about £360 million. But of course, just 18 months ago, they spent £2 billion acquiring William Hill's non-US assets. And actually, it was reported last month as well that Playtech had tabled a £700 million bid for 888 last year as well. So, Nico, when you think about that massive fluctuation in the value, would you say from your perspective, it looks like 888 is going to be a target again for acquisition? What do you think about all this?
Yeah, the question is just where possible selling pressure might occur from. So if they already denied a sale to Playtech for 700 million, I'm pretty sure with an actual market cap of 360 million pounds, which you just lined out, a possible selling price will not be in the area of 700 million pounds as of now. So if they did not sell by 700 million pounds, why should they sell now? So that's pretty much the underlying reason. As of now, they are re-establishing the overall structure. They are, giving legendary gaming folks a new seat, either at the board or in any other C-levels. And they are trying to turn the ship around. And one thing is for sure, we will have some news covering 888 and William Hill in the near future. That's for sure.
I think the interesting thing about a potential acquisition for 888 is who would buy them. Because it seems to me that we struggle to see a US operator who'd like to make a bid, because mm-hmm. they've got all this grey market liability. They've got all these ongoing court cases going on due to their historic operations, unlicensed operations in Europe. And US regulators have historically looked quite unfriendly at that. So I'm not sure a US operator would like to risk their US license. I think probably the best bet would be maybe some kind of private equity who might want to take it on, who doesn't mind the grey market risk. But I mean, at its current share price, it would be quite cheap for its reach and its number of users. So yeah, we could maybe see something happening.
Yeah, good point. Let me say hello to Bogdan and Ross in the comments. Thank you for joining us today. I hope it's nice and sunny where you are, just like it is where I am here in Wimbledon. Do let us know in the comments if you think there is a potential buyer out there for 888. Do you think the board would be amenable to that kind of option? We don't really know at the moment. But you're quite right, Zach. It's a good point to mention about the number of users, because curiously, revenue was right down 8% in the UK, but the number of users was up by 11%. So they've obviously got reach, but the problem was that the average revenue per customer dropped 18%. So they're obviously going for a higher volume of lower value customers. They've obviously, I think with regulatory change in the UK, major operators have been kind of focusing on winding down VIP schemes and maybe dropping liabilities by getting rid of some of their biggest players that maybe had a bit more danger of landing them in hot water somewhere down the line. So they're kind of focusing on this, trying to get the volume in and get that number of users up. But unfortunately for 888, it just wasn't enough to deliver year-on-year growth this year. Now, Nico, you did mention the new leadership team that's being installed at 888. In fact, it kind of looks like that process has sort of been completed for now. They've got a very new look executive suite. But I wanted to mention before we look at that more closely, the kind of cost savings plan that Per Widerström has put in place as the new CEO. So straight away, when he came in, he set up this £30 million cost savings plan in December. And they already had expected this sort of £150 million worth of synergies from the integration of William Hill's assets. But I'm going to just kind of take over here for a minute, take over from myself, with a bit of analysis from Paul Leyland, because he's really on the money from Regulus Partners, of course. Paul Leyland's really on the money with this kind of thing. And really knows his stuff. So he kind of analyzed these results yesterday and said that the continued double-digit international revenue declines demonstrate how much harder it is, becoming to extract value out of an increasingly complex and competitive global online regulatory environment. So of course, we're all familiar with the struggles AAA has had in some of its grey markets. And as that regulatory environment gets more complicated, it just gets more difficult for operators like AAA. But another bit that I wanted to point out is that Paul has really dug down into these numbers a little bit. And basically, at the end of the day, cutting through all the noise of the financial results, he said, that the business is going to be left with about £100 million of free cash flow. He said that might sound like reasonable headroom, but it is the equivalent of around 10% of the group's fixed costs, or 2 years of 5% cost growth if revenue remains flat. So actually, when we're talking about the scale and the margins that we are talking about with 888, £100 million of free cash flow is really not a lot of headroom for the business. So he said, with £1.6 billion of debt, rising underlying costs, a less forgiving macro environment, and continued regulatory uncertainty, the combined group now needs a real turnaround to survive. And of course, that turnaround is expected to be delivered by 888's new executive team. So I think we've got an image we can show as well, which is showing all the new C-suite members of 888 and where they've come from. And it's starting to look like a real super group of people from all sorts of different businesses, but few guys in there from Flutter, PokerStars and the Stars Group. We've just seen Jeffrey Haas from DraftKings added into the mix. So, Nico, what do you make of this new leadership group? It looks pretty strong on the face of it, doesn't it?
Indeed, it looks pretty strong. And it seems like each and everybody of them has a Flutter background. If you just take a look, PokerStars, Betfair, Sky Betting, Superbet, Bwin Party. So it's like at the Zone as well. It's a funky bunch of former Flutter employees. So it seems like they have history. They've already shown like they can for sure run a competitive product and a competitive gaming company as well, and just keep the fingers crossed, because in the end it's all a legacy business. You know, we're talking about William Hill, one of the most established brand ever, and 888. So we will just see, and as said, it for sure it won't get boring as soon as you speak about 888.
Quite right, Nico, and I think we're going to find out more in March. And I think we can take the image down now, Lorena. Thank you. We'll find out more in March when the full and fully audited financial results are released. As the CEO said, there's going to be a full plan for 2024 to 26. So we'll have 3 years of predictions and plans to come in a couple of months' time. But for now, it seems like 888's in a very tricky position, and I'm sure that Per Widerström and the rest of the executive team will be doing everything they can to turn it around. Now, we have a very different story coming up next, and we have the results from Flutter Entertainment. But before we move on to that, I think we have a short video message that we'd like to show first. There we go. I thought maybe Nico was drying his hair in the background there. I heard a bit of hissing, a bit of hairdryer noise. But no, there you go. New York, next.io, the New York Summit coming up on the 6th and 7th of March. Lots to look forward to there. But for now, I think we should move on and talk about Flutter Entertainment. As I said before, they've had a very different experience in 2023 to 888. Zach, I know you've been looking into this very closely. What's the headline numbers for Flutter this year?
Yeah, so Flutter is a very different story to 888. They're not the biggest gambling company in the world, but I think they might be the biggest online gambling company in the world. They've seen enormous growth over the last few years, and that's looked like it's continuing now. So for 2023, the revenue climbed 25% to $9.51 billion. Which was driven by a 23% rise in sports betting revenue and 29% on iGaming. And within that, breaking that down a bit further, they've seen a huge growth in the US, which is where all eyes seem to be at the moment. I think of the 10 points in their Q4 trading update, something like 7 of them refer to the US, so which just seems to be what everyone's interested in. In the US, it's all about iGaming, it seems. While they remain like the online sports betting leader, they've seen the most growth has been on their iGaming side, which CEO Peter Jackson said was a result of product improvements going back years to the group's 2022 Capital Markets Day, where they announced a sort of 3-year strategy to first fix the products, then get product parity, and then draw ahead of their competitors, which is what they're saying they're trying to do this year. Big part of why the markets have reacted so favorably to this, which they have, their share price has risen 11% since the news was released, has been that the increase in their market share, that's the results announced. So they saw their market share for iGaming go up to 26%, rising 5% year on year, which if you remember earlier last year, DraftKings became the number one overall gaming leader in terms of revenue in the US, and this was driven by iGaming. So the fact that they're sort of clawing back territory there is good news for them, especially because looking much longer term to maybe a scenario when a majority of US states have legalized iGaming, the same way they have seen sports betting, whoever is the winner of iGaming will be by far the revenue leader, because iGaming is so much more profitable than sports betting.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of one of those discussions that we think about maybe we're talking about 10, 15 years into the future now, where we're thinking about real widespread iGaming across the US. It certainly doesn't seem to be coming anytime soon. But I think we've got a picture we can show as well. Yet another image showing Flutter's results here, and it's kind of pretty clear to see just where all that growth is coming from. So pretty modest in the UK and Ireland, but not bad. Slight dip in Australia, and then pretty strong growth internationally as well. But the US is just storming ahead there. US accounting now for nearly, not quite, but sort of approaching sort of 50% almost of group revenue. Maybe it's about 35-40%, something like that. But you can see how much that's driving the growth there. So what was the kind of explanation behind that? I think there were a few state launches last year, which probably helped.
Yeah. There were four state launches in 23, as far as I'm aware. So there was Maryland, Kentucky, I think. And then two more, Ohio, and then one more I can't quite remember. But yeah, I mean, there were state launches, but I mean, I actually think you have to remember that the US is a very young market, especially compared to like the European markets. These are consumers who aren't familiar with sports betting. There's a lot of people who are iGaming, a lot of people trying it for the first time. And it's, so it's why I think a lot of the interest comes from, is because there's a lot more potential for growth in the longer term. Also remember that the US had much stricter regulatory enforcement against unlicensed online gaming than other markets, which means there's reason to think that American consumers might be generally less familiar with it, which is part of the reason there's room for growth. The interesting thing about iGaming, this is something that Peter Jackson mentioned in the earnings call, was that a lot of the growth is coming from people who are just trying iGaming. That's not cross sell. So not people who are jumping from their sports betting products to their online casino. That's straight up just people trying it for the first time. And for that, Peter Jackson said that products was really why this was happening. Though every gambling company says that their product is the best, but Flutter, when you look at the rankings, they're my analysts, their products are consistently ranked pretty high.
Yeah, I think Bench comes out really well in the US tests, and obviously they've got a big variety of brands internationally as well. Now, what are we going to talk about next? I think we should have a look at what the impact of all this was on investors. I think you mentioned it briefly there, but we've got another image that we can show from the last 5 days of share price performance for Flutter. I think the market has reacted pretty positively, to say the least. I don't know if Lorena can find that chart for us. But there you go. Yeah, so over the past 5 days, the shares are up 17%. So there's obviously a huge amount of confidence in this business. And I suppose, as you mentioned, Zach, one good reason for that is FanDuel's presence in the US. And I think we've got another picture for you, actually. We've got a very interesting little map that Nico found. Nico, can you see this? Can you talk us through it?
Yeah, of course I can talk you through. So first of all, shout out to David Sargent, who is keeping up with that specific, or who updates that specific graphics. And this is on a state-by-state basis in the US, where you actually see the market leader. And as already anticipated and talked through so often, we literally see a duopoly in the US run by DraftKings and FanDuel, and the overall revenue of and in the US of Flutter origins from the exceptional performance of FanDuel, which you can actually see here. They are the market leader in the state of New York, etc. So in the end, the overall market share of roughly, if I'm not mistaken, around the 68-70%. Is owned by DraftKings and FanDuel, with these two groups just, you know, literally running the overall markets as well. And this is just underlying what Zach already pointed out as well. So whoever owns the iGaming market in the US, and this is always reflected in the balance sheets as well. And thanks, Lorena, for putting this one up.
Nice. Yes, excellent illustration there of just how competitive those US markets are and how dominated, of course, as we all know, by FanDuel and DraftKings. But Zach, it's not all about the US. It is an increasingly important part of Flutter's business, of course. But I think Peter Jackson had one or two things to say about Brazil as well, which is also a market that lots of operators have got their eye on. And it ties in actually with this comment we've got from Bogdan, who says he's been saying this since a year ago, that there's going to be an acquisition spree, and it already unfolded in 2023. And Bogdan, you say you're confident we'll witness a similar acquisition game this year too. So new influential industry leaders are set to emerge, driven significantly by US operators and owners. Well, it's going to be an exciting year, that's for sure. But moving on from that, well, kind of related to that, Zach, what did Peter Jackson have to say about Brazil this morning?
Yes, this was quite interesting. So Peter Jackson did his earnings call with the CFO today, which is always something that follows a trading update. And so they he had a question about what the group's plans were for Brazil. So people who've been paying attention know that Lula signed the long-awaited Brazilian gaming law recently, which had iGaming snuck in at the last minute to the relief of industry, which actually wasn't too excited about the sports betting proposition, considering the high taxes. And I think especially the 15% win tax, which I think I've heard some analysts say is going to be particularly hard to outcompete the offshore market on. But yeah, so Peter Jackson, he was, you know, he bigged up his brands, PokerStars and Betfair. They're both already in the market. They're both doing okay. They're not the leaders. The leaders are Bet365, some like local brands. Entain Sporting's bet is doing quite well. But they know they're respectable. They've got a respectable market position. Mm-hmm. And Peter Jackson said, basically, look, we're interested in organic growth, which, for people who don't know, is, you know, just growing normally through through a market. But M&A could also be on the table, which would see them acquire a local brand, a local hero, which they could use to sort of be their brand in the market. So he normally, when CEOs talk about M&A, they normally don't comment, or they say, look, we always consider options. But this was, in my eyes, quite a significant statement. He's saying pretty straightforwardly, yeah, we might buy something. We'll just see what happens. I mean, I'm not an expert in the Brazilian market, so I can tell you which brands exactly might be up for sale. I know Kaizen's Betano is quite big there. Which is Kaizen is a Greek company, so maybe that could be an option. Mm-hmm. Or there's also bet7k.com, which is under a business called NSX Group. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know. This is just speculation. But yeah, it seems to me that might be what they go for.
Yeah, I haven't seen either a kind of market leadership breakdown of Brazil. I wouldn't know. You know, when we saw things like Entain's acquisition of STS in Poland, even though it was very controversial, we knew for a fact that they were getting a market leader there. The acquisition of Bet City as well. So this kind of seems like an Entain game to play. I don't know if I can remember the last time Flutter outright bought a kind of market leading brand in a particular market in order to, you know, bolster its presence in one particular. Well,
the big example is FanDuel, yeah.
Yeah. So when it does it, it's not like Entain, I guess, who has this piecemeal approach, a little brand here, a little brand there. When Flutter goes in for those kind of acquisitions, it goes large. So,
I mean, they acquired a max bet in September. And I mean, Serbia, I mean, it's many things, but not the market, not a huge gambling market.
Okay, no, fair enough. I stand corrected. Nico, what do you make of all this? Do you think we could see an acquisition coming up in the next 12 months from Flutter?
As already pointed out by Zach, so they're always looking for opportunities. And although I don't think that, hey, Lorena, there she is. That's the beauty in our background. Just making sure each and everything just runs smoothly. So you could just have a peek at her. So getting back to the point. So, of course, they're always eyeing for opportunities, to literally buy into a market. But one thing which will be very, very interesting, and which had been the underlying reason why they are so successful in the already operating US, is that Google is about to expand their real money gaming framework for India, Mexico, and Brazil. And hold your horses. So the tech giant has stated that its change in the policy follows the learning from the pilots and positive feedback from users and developers based on RMG app types for Rummy and daily fantasy sports. So I'm pretty sure there are another bells ringing in each and everyone's head, as the daily fantasy sports had been the underlying reason in the US already. They will be very, very happy that they can, introduce India, Mexico, and Brazil into their daily fantasy sports offerings as well, which had also been one of the key factors for their Ontario success as well, where they had been able to literally convert roughly 65 up to 70% of their existing user database. So with this being a glimpse at the horizon as well. They for sure will have their DFS offerings. Plus, they have a decent amount of money being literally seeking for opportunities and M&A activities. So they already lined up each and everything. So their playbook seems to turn out quite well.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point about that, Nico. It will be interesting to see exactly how that change in Google policy pans out. Because I think the interesting thing about it was that they're going to allow more real money gaming apps in these markets as long as, so it's, they're going to offer them even in unregulated markets as long as they don't actually contradict any of the country's laws. So it'd be interesting to see how that pans out with the introduction of regulated sports betting in Brazil, but I think that's probably a discussion for another time. Well, there was a lot of information there, gents, and we've absolutely flown through it in half an hour. I would definitely encourage any of our viewers and listeners to go to next.io and check out the articles in full so that you can get the full rundown in your own time. It can be a bit difficult to listen along to all that information so quickly. But it's been a very interesting discussion, I think. And is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up here, fellas?
All good. Thanks, Connor. Cheers for having us.
Nico?
Indeed. Cheers for having us. And it was good seeing you, Zach. You are the output machine of interesting news all the time, and finally our viewers had been able to actually put a face and your smile into all the articles you've put out, and a smile usually works pretty well, doesn't it, Connor?
You know it, Nico, and you're absolutely right. Zach is doing some brilliant work for us here at Next.io. But before we wrap up, let me say thanks again to Place and thanks to Lorena, our producer. Zach, it's been very nice to see you. And Nico, it's been very nice to hear you this week. And we hope everyone in the audience will join us again here, same place, same time next week. So take care and good afternoon.
Bye-bye.
Coming close to me, flow is on atomic. I'm starting fires through poetry. The heart's out, staying loyal, no falling out. And if you step into the court, be ready, we balling out. Yeah.